What's up? It is Thursday and it's heating up. WrestleMania week is getting here. We are going to be in the thick of it here in Philadelphia. I am Dominic D'Angelo on site. We'll be on in Center City coming up here later on today. But I am here on Rumor Nintendo with none other than Robert Karpolis, WWE Creative _ish. Robert, man, we got a lot to talk about today.
We got way too much to talk about today for us to even banter back and forth. Before we jump right in, we'll give a quick shout out to Joseph Wade Walters, who said morning bros, more like Dad Copeland. Am I right? That was a fatherly speech right there. And then David Mage, who knows we don't have a lot of time, just wrote yeah. So that works for me. Dude, let's get into it. It's mania time. This is our last show of the week together. We will be back tomorrow, but I will be joined by your profanity-laced brother who's going to be filling in. But Dom, glad I got you here.
Yes, it's a real pleasure, and it's going to be a pleasure to discuss, make our WrestleMania predictions, night one only today, but we will also be talking Roman Reigns making a little video game appearance and not in WWE 2K24. Becky Lynch is a best time-selling author, but we're going to start everything off today with what happened last night on AEW Dynamite. A lot of ground to cover in this one, Robert. We'll just start off. Edge came out by Adam Copeland, as he's now known, and made a state of AEW address, basically. Kind of went to bat for all, kind of indirectly addressed the situation, all the stuff that was talked about with the company regarding CM Punk. Didn't mention CM Punk by name, but did mention Cody Rhodes, and had some words to say. Robert, what did you think of that, kicking off AEW Dynamite?
Man, that was awkward. I've been in corporate life for most of my professional career. I know what it's like when you have to sit through one of those rah-rah speeches, especially when it's like after something bad. Let's say it was after the end of the quarter and we didn't meet our numbers, we didn't meet our quota, our stock is down, but guys, we're in this together. But first of all, the microphone not working. I thought that was a play on something, like, oh, we're getting something with Malakai Black or whatever, and they're going to interfere, because AEW has used a lot of the production glitchy stuff to build an angle. We had some production glitchy stuff yesterday. I assumed it was the House of Black interfering.
That was it, Robert. He didn't know.
he publicly talks about the negative stuff that's out there. Which obviously is the CM Punk interview, which was an odd choice because, yes, people saw it, but I don't know that you necessarily needed to address that component of it. Part of his messaging rang true to me, this idea that I watched WWF as a kid, I watched NWA as a kid, I watched everything as a kid, and the idea is you all want to love wrestling. I don't know about you, Dom. I watched any wrestling that was on at any point in time. I watched GWF when it was on ESPN to see, the big stars like the Handsome Stranger, which was Buff Bagwell, or Terry Garvin. I just loved wrestling. I wanted to see any version of it. And I think that piece of it is fine, but you don't need to say that to your AEW audience that's already tuning in.
Right. I understand Edge's or Adam's point of kind of putting a knife in between the tribalism of all that stuff and wanting to disperse that. But yeah, it's just like kind of, you want to just roll right along. It's kind of, I would want to make it a little bit more, for lack of a better phrase, edgier if you're going to do something like that, because at least you're getting a little bit more heat behind it a little bit. I respect the fact that Adam was positive, and he is a very positive person about all that stuff. And I thought the way he executed it was pretty well done. But yeah, it's just like, do you really need to kind of do that and make a state of what you think about AEW when everybody kind of thinks about what they've lost in a lot of ways? That's what I think about in AEW and the opportunities that they missed, from Cody to CM Punk to you name it, some of the people that they stopped, pushed, pulled, all that stuff. And that's what I reflect a lot on the state of AEW, is what it could have been at this moment in time and where it's at right now. It's like, it's almost like a, like, let your head down a little bit in a certain way, I think.
It was tough because you're trying to be positive. And when he's talking about, like, look at how great the state of wrestling is, but you know that he's saying it to a one third or half empty arena. Mm-hmm. It's like wrestling business has never been hotter. Therefore, you guys should be hanging from the rafters every week, ratings skyrocketing, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. When you think back to the Monday Night Wars, as someone who's old enough to remember, you know, watching those, it was great for Nitro. It was not great for Raw. Raw's numbers were constantly depleting. They were playing smaller buildings. They were running low on cash, and it was a dire situation. As we talked about yesterday, Tony does not really care as much about that because he knows he's funding and financing this show. Copeland pointing out that there's a lot of first ever matches that he has, I think was a smart idea. Like, hey, I'm here because I want to wrestle Will Ospreay. I want to wrestle Kenny Omega. I want to have a match with Swerve. I want to be able to mix it up with FTR. Like, I'm here because these are the dream matches that I have that I hope you guys are excited about. And that's, you know, the reason why I'm in this place. And he was right when he said, I put this locker room up against anybody because we said it on here yesterday. They have an insane roster. They have a stacked locker room of people that they could be taking advantage of. It just felt weird that you don't even need to respond to the Punk piece. You don't need to swing at a pitch in the dirt. It's an Aaron Sorkin quote from a couple of his movies and shows, but like, you could have just let it go. You could have had Copeland coming out there talking about his renewed love of everything and not mention that. I don't know if it's even on, we quickly looked at the run sheet before. I don't even know if it's on there or not, but like Cody on Ariel Helwani, I thought did better damage control for AEW than what AEW did.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a really good point.
Going on there and saying, look, people are entitled to their opinion. I love and respect Tony Khan. I love and respect the Young Bucks. I love what they've built. I love that there's a place for people to be able to go and earn a living. I'm proud of what we've created, and I'm proud of what they're continuing to do. That was your counter argument. Putting Copeland out there, who we know, there have been reports that he was less than thrilled about what happened with Ricky Starks. He's been less than thrilled about some of the attendance that he's been facing. It doesn't necessarily ring as true, but they're also in a tough position, Dom, because there's no one else to go out there and do that. You
right.
Put Danielson out there because you need the Danielson element for him and Ospreay. And if they're all in favor of Bryan Danielson and he's Mr. Rah-Rah AEW, you run the risk of the crowd not loving him. Can't put any of the Elite out there. Kenny's obviously home and hurt. The Bucks are heels. Hangman's suspended. So you can't put those guys out there. And you can't put your champion, Samoa Joe, out there because, again, he's a heel. Copeland can cut a hell of a promo. I love Adam Copeland. I just don't know that this truly accomplished what it is that they hoped that it would. What else was there on Dynamite that we want to touch on?
Yeah, I mean, there was, if you kind of factored, if AEW was in a good spot, I thought this was a pretty decent, pretty darn good show. But it just, and like the matches that they had Danielson taking on Lance Archer, which I thought was very good. The opener of Will Ospreay, Battle of Powerhouse Hobbs, was very, very good.
The Battle of Wills. Let's give the devil its due when it comes to puns.
Yes.
The Battle of Wills, man, Will Ospreay, I'm like, I get caught. He's so damn good.
Very good. It's unbelievable.
And I would hear about it over and over again. He's really good. He's really good. I'm like, I get it. He's good in New Japan. He's good at a Revolver show. Let's see what he does on a big stage. And he just comes out there and he fills up the room. And Hobbs is a dude that I've thought for the longest time, if they really position him well, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
This felt like a match where in 2 years' time, this could main event a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And like, yeah, some of the spots, like how they immediately started off where like Will basically pounced. Powerhouse basically pounced Will.
Will pounced Will.
Will pounced Will. And that was a good way to start things off and get things hot. And it's just like Ospreay has that connectivity with the crowd. It's just it's really something they really need to harness and not exploit, but make the most out of, for sure, because you want to make.
They've got those pieces. It's like people want to make the comparison to like WCW towards the end. This is not WCW towards the end.
No.
There's so many promising, great things. This is just a little bit of course correction, a little bit of adjustments here and there. They're going to be just fine if they make those adjustments and course corrections. Brian and Archer was a very good match where you knew what the finish was before it even happened.
Mm-hmm.
Archer's a big, tall guy that they just put out there as a nobody. I mean, he doesn't mean anything. It's tough to really be truly invested.
And that's like another name that I've always like liked in AEW, and that they had moments to build him up and do it right. But they've put him in those positions that you're just talking about, where it's just like, hey, there he is. He's going to do the job to this guy. He looks credible and looks like, you know, it took how many kicks for Daniel Bryan to get him down, or Bryan Danielson to get him down. And there it is, you know? So I think the match was really well executed and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like, and you're building towards Danielson and Ospreay, obviously, is the main goal. So, I mean, that was good. Really thought the contract signing was the most violent contract signing we've ever seen, I think.
You know, I said yesterday, no one's tuning in to the show for a contract signing.
Yeah.
And I don't think people tuned in because they wanted to see what this contract signing was. But if you stuck around and you watched it, it was succinct. It was to the point. It was intense, the way that Joe kept messing with Shivani, and every time Tony kept trying to move the contract, he like pulled it back, so you knew something sinister was going to happen. The use of blood, we've seen blood a lot, we've seen Swerve bleed a lot, but the blood on the contract dripping onto the microphone, it felt violent, it felt intense. I don't know that it's going to change the people were already excited to see Joe and Swerve. The story was already there. It gave you a cool visual. It gave you a cool storyline moment. It was fine for an overrun.
Yeah. What do you think about Mercedes Moné making the announcement that she will challenge at Double or Nothing? Not Dynasty. No, nothing set up for Dynasty for a match, but we got to wait till Double or Nothing to see Mercedes Moné back in action, it looks like.
Boy, did she not feel special. I thought Willow... Grand Slam promo.
Yeah.
I've been a Willow supporter for a long time. I was fortunate when I met her last year to tell her, I think, how incredible she is. She, like Eddie Kingston, has this Mick Foley-like ability to connect with the audience. And mm-hmm. I like the camera angle with her, with the crowd behind her. I thought that was a unique position on the stage. This idea of, I'm not supposed to make it, and yet here I am, and no one's going to stop me. That's all I needed. When Mercedes came out, it felt a little heelish, and maybe that's where they're going with this, and we're teasing it, in which case my criticism may be totally off base. But otherwise, Mercedes just felt like another person. Her presentation in that did not look spectacular. It did not look eye-catching or exciting. It just kind of felt like, oh yeah, I guess she's here.
Yeah, yeah, she's part of the show. That's what it felt like. She's part of the show. But to your point, like Willow really hit it out of the park with that. Like she's such an organic personality that she elevates. It's like so many people can relate to her, I think, you know, from a personality standpoint, an energetic standpoint, and she can bring in that outside casual fan, I think. Again, like Will Ospreay, you got to position her in the right fashion and make sure that you're making the most of her minutes and everything like that. But AEW has shown that they've been inconsistent with doing that for everybody on basically. So you're hoping that they'll do the right thing. And, you know, her going against Mercedes Moné would be pretty good stuff and looking like a step in the right direction if they're doing that.
It could be, for sure. Yeah. If the intent is one of them has to work as a heel.
Right. Right.
But boy, now you sure as hell made Willow a major, major baby face.
There you go. And that's what you bought. Isn't that why you're bringing Mercedes Moné into it to help build new stars? That's kind of why you're doing it. So, I mean,
boy, I hope so.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you want to hope they're doing this the right way because you want to use an established name, an established star to help elevate a young talent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Speaking of, I think was the phrase you were about to say.
Speaking of, oh, well, I mean, is there anything else you wanted to cover before we
I thought it was the Jericho hook thing I saw.
That's right. Well, there's the hook thing.
They needed to get the hook. Hook should not talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a controversial opinion or not, but I think Hook is really great. The less he says, the better. I just need one word, two words from him, and it works. When he talks too much, you're kind of overexposing him. And lastly, in terms of overexposure, Jay White and Billy Gunn. I got a message from someone who is going to remain nameless, who works at another company, who basically said, like, did Jay White tell Tony Khan he quits and then smack Tony's mother to explain the booking of this match? Jay White, who is a main event level heel, a great talent, who's someone that is finally finding his groove, got eaten alive by Billy Gunn, who I get turning back the clock. I get utilizing Billy, but that's not the dude you need to be building. Could you imagine if they did this kind of build with a Wardlow? They'd be printing money. Instead, you know, Billy still showing that he's in his prime, all things considered. And guys, if you want to be back in your prime, if you want to be like Billy Gunn in the DX days, even though it's 2024, can we recommend our friends at Blue Chew? This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. In a few minutes, we're going to do our WrestleMania predictions. We don't know how those matches are going to end, but we're excited. But you know how your one-on-one contest with your partner is going to end when you use Blue Chew, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free. When you use our promo code Rumor at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this special WrestleMania edition of Rumor and Innuendo.
Yes, David Maj says Billy Gunn is the Rock of AEW, and you be the Rock of your bedroom with Blue Chew, promo code Rumor. Hey, speaking of the Rock, let's talk about a little WrestleMania night one going down, Robert. It's time to make some predictions.
It is time for some WrestleMania predictions, guys. As we said yesterday, we're going to split the predictions to night one and night two because there's so much to cover. So I'll be getting one D'Angelo's opinion on night one, the other D'Angelo's opinion on night two. Could not be more excited. Dom, where are we starting?
Yeah, we are going to start one of the opening matches, likely. It will be Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. You know, Rey Mysterio obviously took on Dominic last year at WrestleMania 39. Was one of my favorite matches, I think, of the whole show. It was so fun. But what do you think of this match here, Robert? How do you think they're going to play this out? Is Rey going to get another win on his son, or is Dominic going to get the win this time around?
So it's a matter of where your equity is going forward. Yes, Rey Mysterio beat Dom last year, but the purpose of this match is not to highlight the Rey-Dom feud. It's not even to highlight Santos Escobar. It's to make Dragon Lee. So Dragon Lee is the one who needs to get the win. Dragon Lee getting the win on Dominic Mysterio opens up three interesting stories. Number one, you're setting up a Dom-Dragon Lee feud because Dragon Lee has been identified as the next Rey Mysterio. Number two, you're setting up friction between Dom and Legado del Fantasma since he's kind of courting them. And you're setting up friction between Dom and the rest of Judgment Day. He goes out there. He doesn't get the job done when he's the one that embarked on this outside mission. There's going to be a lot of reckoning for him. So I feel like Dragon Lee pinning Dominic Mysterio is the most likely outcome.
You know, I don't want to be a contrarian, but I agree.
You're
a
contrarian, Dom.
I agree with you. I do. I think that's the right.
Not a contrarian.
I know it isn't. I think that's the right route to take, though.
I think the Jets hat's making you dumber.
It is. Well, like, they make dumb decisions. So look at me.
That they do. And as a Dolphins fan, it's made me happy for decades.
Oh man, this is upsetting. I don't want to get all riled up NFL season when it's off season right now. But yes, I think, Dragon Lee, you want to position him as the next Rey Mysterio. This is a good way to do it. I would say definitely don't get Escobar getting pinned or anything like that. Have Dominic get the loss because you get more value in that. And then you protect Santos at the same time, and he's still a heel, and you can still build him, in turn building Dragon Lee. So I'm with you on that one. Next up, Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill taking on Damage Control, which would be Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. What do you think of this one there, Robert?
So if it was a tag match for the tag titles, I would have assumed that the winner in this situation was going to be the Kabuki Warriors. Mm-hmm. However, given that this is Jade's first official match, I don't see them beating her in her WrestleMania debut. I feel like they want that moment. Dakota Kai is someone who can absolutely take the pin, and you can still do Kabuki Warriors against Naomi and Bianca at the next show. I think the idea for video packages in the future, Jade winning her first WrestleMania match, is the story, and it also amplifies this idea of, as Damage Control failed, what's going to happen with Io? Is this going to affect her momentum?
Yeah, I'm just on the simple fact that you want to keep Jade hot and make her feel like such a big deal that she is. So yeah, having them get the win, I think, is pretty key in this. I don't think Damage Control, there's a lot you can play around with that still. Obviously, Bailey's out of the element with that, but you can build some tension there, have some things going on there, and kind of move things forward, whatever you want to do with the future Damage Control. But I think there's so much equity in Jade Cargill. You want to keep that going for sure. All right, here's a big one. One that might be kind of hard to predict, we'll see, is the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. We'll have Judgment Day. We'll have Awesome Truth. We will have DIY versus The New Day versus A-Town Down versus New Catch Republic. Who do you think about this one? Where is this one going to go? Is there a chance Judgment Day retains, or is this more of what you were saying earlier with maybe them fracturing up a little bit?
So I feel like this is another situation for them to fracture Judgment Day. It's also an opportunity to take the titles off of Finn and Priest without actually having to beat Finn and Priest. Mm-hmm. So I not to tip my hat too much on day two, but I think this narrative of if Dom fails, if the tag champs fail, and if Rhea fails, the pressure's on Damian Priest that he may decide, we got to salvage this thing and I got to use the Money in the Bank briefcase. Whether that's at Mania or at Raw, I feel like that avenue opens up a lot of interesting stories. So I'm going to say that Judgment Day will not retain. In terms of who may win, because I have a lot of, you know, the happy, happy, joy, joy of Rey and Dragon Lee winning and Bianca and Naomi and all them winning. I would not be mad if A-Town Down Under wins, just because, number one, they've got that heat of what's going on with Meltzer,
yeah,
which is kind of funny. And also because when you are the tag champs, you get to be on both shows. And Priest and Waller are an entertaining act that you can use on both Raw and SmackDown and get a lot of mileage out of them. So my prediction before would have been Awesome Truth getting their revenge on Judgment Day, but their complete absence from Raw this past week was definitely startling. So I think that it may be Waller and Theory who need some direction as tag champs.
I got to go 3-for-3 with you on that, because I really think it's A-Town Down Under going to do it. I know there was rumors that maybe they were going to be off the card. They were going to have a meeting and see what was going on. That was one of the reports that came out. But yeah, I mean, there's so much entertainment, charisma value with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller together. Why not put them on both shows and make them, you know, a part of your whole kind of product a little bit and get more eyes on them? Plus, a title on Grayson Waller, I think this early in the game will help them too. So, yeah, I'm going A-Town Down Under too, Robert. Brother versus brother, and I'm not talking Marcus versus Dominic. I'm talking Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. That's coming up on night one as well. Does Jey defeat Jimmy, or is there a reason for Jimmy to defeat Jey in the storyline base of it all?
Man, this is a tough one. On the one hand, the main event Jey Uso trajectory is so strong, you want to keep him strong going forward. And I think you're going to need strong baby faces to go up against the world heavyweight champion coming off of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think if Jimmy were and have a chip on his shoulder, this idea of you drop the ball, you better focus on what's more important here, which is helping us later on in the night. Maybe that's where that's going. You know, maybe it's this notion that Jimmy thinks that Solo is seconding him, and then Roman's like, no, we need Solo fresh for later on. You made this mess. You go out there and handle it. That may be the avenue. But I will say Jay, but I can see where it could go either way.
I'm going to say Jay too, because Jimmy, I think if he gets the loss, you kind of get on that road to them mending fences in a certain way. And I don't think you want to have Jimmy and Jay too far apart for too long. I think what we're going to, obviously, I won't be here for tomorrow, but what might happen on night two, we might also see more of a fracture of the bloodline moving forward when it comes to all this stuff. And I could see maybe a revamped bloodline after WrestleMania when it's all kind of said and done. And maybe that won't include Jimmy Uso. So I will go with Jey Uso, maybe a little bit for a different reason than you did. But Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther, the champion, the historic champion, might I say, versus Sami Zayn. We've talked about this one a good deal, Robert, in the build to WrestleMania. What's your final prediction on this one?
I've thought for months, going all the way back to October, November of last year, that this was going to be Sami Zayn versus Gunther at Mania, and Sami Zayn was going to be the one to end this streak. As they've told the story in the last few weeks, my opinion has changed. Oh. I think that Gunther retaining, especially if now he is the longest reigning champion in WWE across the board, adds added value to his Intercontinental title run. And Sammy getting that close and failing, unlike Cody, who picked himself up and dusted himself off and found new life, it's a chance for Sammy to potentially snap and do something really interesting and work against Gable.
Yeah, I kind of always thought Gunther was going to retain just because Sammy has been already an established star. And I think you beat him as your Gunther too, moving forward. It just continues that reign that he's on. And I think you're ultimately going to want Gunther to lose to somebody that's on like a newer star. That's somebody that's not established quite yet, because then you get more value out of that. So I think, yeah, Gunther is going to win this one. I believe Sammy, I think they did a good job though at incorporating Chad Gable and Sammy into this and making something out of an Intercontinental storyline that maybe not necessarily wasn't planned for too long. So I think they did a very good job with that.
It is possible that the reason why you're heating up Ricochet is he's the guy who started this Gunther reign.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an avenue for Ricochet to be the one to end it and restart him a little bit and get some equity and value out of Ricochet. Just thinking outside the box, because the guy that comes to my mind as a new guy would have been Bron Breakker, but exactly. Bron Breakker's he's on SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. That's who I was thinking too, Robert. But yeah, that's a great point about Ricochet. It's like, if you get him, if he's the one to beat Gunther, you can heat him right back up and get what you wanted originally out of him, I think. Hey, you don't actually got to wait till the next night, Robert, because we got the Women's World Championship. It's Rhea Ripley, the champion, taking on Becky Lynch for what happens maybe in the Judgment Day. Where could this kind of lay out? Obviously, hey, we're not going to get a chance to talk about it, but Becky Lynch is a New York Times bestselling author. Lots of stuff going on around Becky's world. Is there value in putting the title on her right now?
Yeah. I think Becky winning gives a little bit of a different flavor to the Raw Women's title. It's a good feel-good title change moment for that audience to see. It's Becky finishing her journey in her return. So I would see this as the real opportunity to beat Rhea, and then we see where it goes in the weeks and months ahead, the falling action.
Okay. So this is one where I'll go Rhea Ripley on this one. I think, you know, maybe all of Judgment Day kind of gets all the L's on going on, but Rhea's the one to retain, and you keep her kind of hot going too. And having that, listen, I upset her. I'm moving on. What's everybody else bringing to the table here? You're not bringing anything here.
Wouldn't be mad at it. I just think right now Becky's in a position where if she loses, she's kind of lost.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point too. Yep. What are you going to do out on that one? All right. Main event time. The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Lots at stake here for the night too. Lots of storyline potential on either way it going down. Robert, what's your prediction on this one?
My prediction on this one is I hated the idea of this being a tag match for a lot of reasons. I wanted to see the Roman and Cody match somewhat pure. I've now come to the realization, the begrudging acceptance, that ain't going to happen. Rock and Roman need to stand tall here. They need to take Seth out to such a degree that he's severely hobbled going into night two as easy pickings for Drew. This is Hunter making movies. This is Infinity War. Night two is Endgame. This needs to be our heroes are facing an impossible odds, incalculable situation where it's going to be bloodline rules going into night two. They booked themselves into a position where that's the only thing we can get. I know there's a small contingent that thinks that The Rock is going to turn on Roman. I just don't see it.
I'm not with that anymore either, especially after the not this last Monday, but the Monday before. And yeah, give me the schmoz. I want it. I want it both nights. You hook me up. Give me just all this chaos going on night one and then bring more chaos, maybe even a Cena and Steve Austin chaos on night two. I want some good payoff. I want the story to be told. I want what Triple H has planned, which I think what you think is pretty spot on. So, yes.
I'm just really excited to watch.
Me too.
Mania. Last year's Mania was such a tale of two shows. Night one, I thought was incredible. Night two went off a cliff because night two was the night that Vince kind of took back power a little bit.
Yeah.
And modified and changed things left and right. And then that Raw after was so terrible that they were like, you know, we're gonna push Grandpa over here for a little bit. And then eventually they were able to smash an anvil over his head. I'm just excited to see what they deliver. This is such a strong and well-built card for night one that you get a little bit of everything. You've got a strong women's singles match. The Gunther Sammy match is going to be really physical. The brother versus brother attraction, the ladder match being your car crash match, the Lucha match, a women's six woman match where you're getting Jade's debut, and then a main event that features The Rock actually wrestling. It's a good, as Adam Copeland said, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
It really is, Rob.
Dom, it's a great time to be a rumor and innuendo fan because you, our intrepid road reporter, tomorrow you're going to be in the thick of it with the WWE. You're going to be snagging some interviews, man.
I'll be getting some interviews happening. Yeah, the press junket starts tomorrow early in the morning, and I will be on hand for that. Getting some interviews exclusively for ad-free shows and rumor and innuendo. So, guys, keep your eyes peeled on the YouTube channel Rumor and Innuendo. There'll be some exclusive interviews dropping on there, and I'll try to get some other content too as well while I'm out on the beat in Philadelphia. So, yeah, if you like what I'm doing outside of anything WWE, it's one of a kind with RVD, RVDTV.com. Subscribe to that. We got some good clips up there of Mustafa Saeed of the Gangsters talking a lot of different things from ECW to modern wrestling to just his relationship with RVD too. So it's good stuff. And then, hey, Four Horsemen Network, go to the Orange YouTube channel, Arn Anderson's YouTube channel, all the content of
Straight Talk. Thanks for clarifying in case you weren't sure which Arn you were talking about.
There's so many Arns out there. Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA, Greg Gagne, full new episode up there. It's already catching fire. So it's good to see you. Just go to the new Four Horsemen Network. Check it out. Robert, you're recording Wrestle Roast here later today, and plus you got my Degenerate Brother next on tomorrow. So
I got Wrestle Roast with three degenerates today: Scott Chaplin, Mike Lawrence, and Dan St. Germain. Three incredibly talented stand up comedians. The four of us sit down on Wrestle Roast and we talk all the different things wrestling related. There's a lot of wackiness that we're going to be touching with on there. And Dom, our new Wrestle Roast producer, he won't be there live for this episode. He's in Philly. He's got actual responsibilities. But what I'm going to encourage you guys to do, you are rumor and innuendoins. If you see Dom anywhere, WrestleMania weekend, grab the dude, take a picture, post it on there with the hashtag RIPod. I want to see that goofy smile all over my timeline. But you will see me here tomorrow with his brother, Mark D'Angelo, who has been warned about his inappropriate language. And if you want to hear if Marcus is going to keep it PG-13, catch us on SE Scoops' X account, the WWE Creative _ ISH X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat X account, Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, and the ad-free shows and rumor and innuendo YouTube pages. Guys, this is the best time to be a wrestling fan. This is the most fun time to be a rumor and innuendo fan. So do us a favor. Tell a friend. We got, you know, we've been seeing huge numbers every day in the thousands joining us live. Number of you catching it later in the day, whether it's on video format or an audio on Spotify or iTunes. Shout out to Nick Giacchini, who is listening to us on his ride to work. On behalf of the WrestleMania bound superstar Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
WrestleMania is on a roll, guys.